This morning we're going to take a look at what makes someone eligible for election to different offices. We'll cover numbers 10 through 13 in the Granite State Constitution and number 22 of Robert Roberts' Ecclesial Guide. So if you have them handy, you may want to have them out for reference. The first section in the Granite State Ecclesia, number 10, that no brother or sister shall be eligible for appointment to office until he or she has been baptized 6 months. In 1 Timothy 3, in verse 6, Paul says of those who desire office of bishop or elder, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. A novice is one newly planted, someone who has recently been baptized. Not necessarily someone who is young, but someone that has not been baptized very long. Just below it, verse 10, Paul says of the deacons, or ones who serve or minister, let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of deacon, being found blameless. Time is what's needed so that a person can show how they conduct their lives after baptism. It is by this measure we can determine if they are suitable for the office. Number 11 in the Constitution. A brother newly baptized shall not be eligible for the office of arranging brother, secretary, treasurer, or lecturer for 2 years. These positions which hold the greatest responsibility need people who have shown a clear picture of how they conduct their life. 2 years should be long enough for everyone in the ecclesia to truly know their brother. The second half of number 11, a brother transferred from another ecclesia or a brother reinstated shall not be eligible for the office of arranging brother, secretary, or treasurer for 1 year. While these would not be novices, someone transferred or reinstated, still need time to have their conduct proved. Section 12. The mode of election shall be by ballot annually. The arranging brethren shall draw up a nomination ballot to be issued to the members of the ecclesia. If one who is in office at the present time is unable to serve the ecclesia in the following year, he or she must submit a letter to the secretary before October 1. The nomination ballots must be sent out by October 15 and returned by November 1 to be valid. 3 votes shall be necessary in the nomination ballot for a brother or sister to have their name placed on the election ballot. A minimum of 6 votes shall be required for all unlimited categories on ecclesial nomination ballot in order for that name to be placed on the election ballot. These time frames are to give plenty of notice so that everyone has opportunity to contemplate and decide who best to fill which offices, and requiring 6 nominations for unlimited categories shows that a good number of the assembly feel that they are qualified and ready to accept the responsibility of the office. So let's take a look at them. They are presiding, reading, and exhorting brethren, assistant table sisters, and assistant organists. Now the election process, the election ballots must be sent out by November 15 and must be returned no later than December 1 to be valid. A minimum of 51% of the votes cast will be required for a person to be elected into any unlimited office. In case of failure to elect any office, or should any vacancies occur during the year from any office, the arranging brethren to fill same. Any brother or sister holding, any brother or sister holding office in the ecclesia may be removed at any time by the vote of the majority of the ecclesia. This must be preceded by a recommendation from the arranging brethren. This recommendation will be based on the principles set forth in 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1 and 2, Samuel 12, verse 14. These principles are not only useful for basing the removal of a person from office, but they quite nicely outline qualifications for those who would hold any office. So let's take a look at them. First, 1 Timothy 3. And I'll read from verse 1 to verse 13. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop must then be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the ecclesia of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the ministry of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree, and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Next, I'd like to look at Titus 1, verses 5 through 9. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, a husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Last, let's flip back to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Nathan says to David, after pronouncing him guilty of the murder of Uriah, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall die. One who gives the enemies of the Lord occasion to blaspheme has no business holding the office, any office, in the ecclesia. So you can see how serious this act of David, because it gave that opportunity for enemies to blaspheme God, that the life of his child was taken. So it's not, it seems like an unusual verse, but I hope you all understand it. Last, let's look at what we've now come to call term limits. I think we're all more familiar with that term. Brother Roberts in the Ecclesial Guide, in section 22, titled Eligibility for Re-election, says, there ought to be a power of re-election without limit. In the case of the Spirit-appointed officials of the Apostolic Ecclesia, their position would be permanent, after the analogy of appointments to the kingdom of God. When a brother is peculiarly qualified, there is no reason why, in our age, he should ever cease to serve. The power of re-election would enable us to approximate to the apostolic model as nearly as compatible with the system of periodic appointments. There should be the ability of someone to be re-elected with no limit on the number of terms. So unless there's an obvious reason to remove someone from office, they should not be prevented from serving in that office. As Paul says to the Corinthians, let all things be done unto edifying, with charity, decently, and in order.